This is an ABC podcast.
That Ashes series was an interesting one for England. It promised so, so much. There were much hype coming in, this side, led by Brendan McCullum and Ben Stokes. And in the end, a 4-1 result is not what they were hoping for. Their tough time down under continues. They won their first test match since the 2010-11 series, but unfortunately, it was a convincing win overall at the end of the SCG fifth day when they look back on it all. There's controversy as well. Harry Brook caught up in a bit of an issue in New Zealand before they came to Australia. That story broke late, but I was lucky enough to catch up with a little earlier Henry Moran before he heads back to the UK and started by once again welcoming to Summer Grandstand and welcoming him to the program again as he has been on all summer throughout.
It's always a pleasure. It's been great to be here, to speak to you guys as well. And what a treat that this series has been. You think back to the start of it and all of the conversations about player fitness, how the pitch was going to play at Perth and one thing and another. A lot has happened since then, not just on the field, off it as well. And we'll have a few long hours thinking about what we've seen and trying to take it all in.
It's quite hard to wrap our heads around the fact that back on the 21st of November is when this all started, the test summer for Australia and for England, and now we've come to the conclusion. It's finally over, 4-1 win to the Aussies, a tour that promised so much for England and I'm sure sent some nerves through all Australian fans as they came over here with this really talented side. It eventually ends in rather similar fashion to so many tours before it down under Henry. How do you rate this series from England and how do you surmise it in the end?
I think it's always a difficult place to come and win in Australia. England have won one series here in 40 years, so the evidence tells us that. And yeah, there was no question, more expectation ahead of this series than previous trips to Australia because we've seen this England side do some special things and there's a lot of talent in the dressing room. I think that every single person watching, and I think in that England dressing room, they will be thinking, well, what might have been? Because they had an awful lot go their way on this tour. They won 4 out of 5 tosses. We saw Pat Cummins only being available to play once. Nathan Lyon got injured. Josh Hazlewood didn't feature at all. There was an awful lot that went in England's favour, and they weren't able to capitalise. And that is the thing I think will really frustrate England supporters, because this was a huge chance. And it might have been the case that England would have lost the series, but did they really do themselves justice? Not just in terms of how the series went as performances on the field, but the preparation. A lot of conversations about whether England absolutely got their preparation right. I think we can safely say they didn't, because had they got their preparation right, then I think we wouldn't have seen the sort of stories that we've seen over the course of the last few weeks coming out. It's a real frustration for England fans who saw this team and this chance of success in Australia as such a rare and special thing. And it seems like it's not really been taken. And that will be something I think that will probably to an extent haunt Ben Stokes and Brendan McCullum when all of this is said and done, because they'll know that this was a chance.
Yeah, it's certainly a very tough one to analyse on both sides of it. It was a really exciting series to some extent. We had some great moments, but it didn't quite reach the highs of the close competitive series that we were hoping for, both the English fans and Australian fans. You mentioned the preparation. So much has been made of it. I know Jonathan Agnew has been big on it across the ABC Sports programming, of course, across BBC and Test Match Special, and he's harped on about it, as he said, but it's a fair criticism, as you mentioned. It's recently come to light that the story broke about Harry Brook and an altercation he got into on a night out in New Zealand prior to playing and leading England in a one-day game the next day. That's only just come out in the past few days. With Harry Brook and that whole situation, is there a feeling from English fans that just summarises that lack of preparation? What has been the reaction to that news?
I think people are a bit concerned about the culture around the team and the fact that happened, one. Two, that England have known about it for the whole series, but it's only just come to light. And also that you've got a player who is a senior leadership figure. He's the vice captain of the test side. He's the captain of the white ball side. who, with that still sort of brewing and rumbling on underneath, then had the trip to Noosa, where Harry Brooke, amongst others, was seen regularly sitting outside a bar. And it just creates a vision for England fans. And I go back to this question as to whether this will feel like a missed opportunity, where you think, well, could they have done more? Was there the chance to actually leave no stone unturned and give yourself the best chance of winning a series? And look, nobody would dispute the fact that these are long tours. Harry Brooke is somebody, I think, who will play every single game this calendar year if fit and available. No one else in the side will do that. So you know, players need a break and they need to switch off. However, they're switching off and having a break, and there is a culture around a dressing room where it's these sort of things are coming to light, coming out, and that, I think, is a bit more of a concern. And also, there's a slightly longer-term question about all of this. We go back 8 years. Do you remember the narrative around Johnny Bairstow and Cameron Bancroft, the headbutt in a bar in Perth? And there was alleged headbutt. It was something of nothing in the end. There was talk of Ben Duckett pouring a pint over the head of Jimmy Anderson. You go forward 4 years later, and we see the video emerging of the England team having to have a drinking session interrupted in the early hours in Hobart. It's one of those questions, I think, where a lot of the time the narrative around a side is very positive if they're winning and they're seen as a great team spirit. But if you're not winning and people are seeing these things and thinking, well, hold on a minute, is this a serious sporting outfit? And by all chance and coincidence yesterday, I was speaking to some fans outside the ground for BBC television. And I asked an England supporter, well, what have you made of it all? He said, well, by chance, I'm Greg Searle, the Olympic gold medalist rower. And I said, OK, well, that's an interesting line on it, because what about you? What do you think as an athlete? And he said, I find it unbelievable that a team wouldn't do absolutely everything at all times to make sure that they're as prepared as possible. You've got one shot at this. For many players, they will not get another go at the Ashes. And so to have left Australia with those question marks, questions over team culture, questions over preparation, I think you can forgive a side losing because they're beaten by the better side, which I think Australia probably still are. But I'm not sure you can be quite as forgiving if you don't see the side having made quite as many strides towards a serious approach to the tour as perhaps would be necessary.
Yeah, now that's the disappointing thing, I think, from all fans. Obviously, Australian fans are reveling in a 4-1 victory, but many of us have predicted and we're hoping for something similar to what we saw against India on the Australian shores last year, which was a really competitive series. Henry Moran from the BBC, cricket journalist, part of the TMS team, is joining us here on ABC Grandstand. Henry, there's been a lot of talk about going back, and you can look at a lot of moments across the entire Ashes series and where it went wrong for England and went right for Australia. Are you one of those people that subscribes to the view that the series was lost in Perth when England led by 99 runs with only one wicket down, 9 wickets in hand, and then left only 200 on the board for Australia to chase? Can you trace it back to that and think that's where it really started to go wrong for England?
Yeah, well, we did this on Test Match Special as a bit of a feature during the lunch interval yesterday. And what the sort of moments that defined the Ashes. And I think there's a few of them. That is absolutely a key moment. Jonathan Agnew actually picked the 24th of July, which was the date that the schedule was announced for England not to be playing more than one warm-up match in the game at Lilac Hill. But he, slightly tongue-in-cheek, it was making a broader point. But within the series, I think that afternoon in Perth certainly did a lot of damage. And let's not forget where we were at that point. The Australian media was beginning to turn just a little bit on the Australian side. Usman Khawaja, the golf injury, and the fact that Australia were behind in the game, and people were thinking we could be in trouble here. If England had won that day, batted that session, those noises would have got louder, the nerves would have built, there would have been a sense of vulnerability amongst the Australian side. But actually, the way England gave it away, it was something, oh, well, we know what this lot are like. They get a sniff of an opportunity and they'll just chuck it away. And that really did dictate things. There were some other key moments within the series, of course. I think the catching is something that can't be underestimated. You think about those brilliant catches taken by Marnus Labuschagne in the victory at Adelaide, and a fabulous catch in Brisbane by Steve Smith to break the partnership between Will Jackson and Ben Stokes. really important moments in the series. And Australia won those key moments, but not by coincidence. They won it because of excellent work. And, you know, there's a few other parts to all of this. And it doesn't take much examination to think it's a bit peculiar that England came on this tour without a dedicated fielding coach. They did have a spin coach. They never picked a dedicated spinner. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of weird things that you come together and you think, well, again, have they got this right? Have they been quite as organised as they might have been? So, yeah, it's a really interesting analysis that we can do. And you know, Perth will be a big chapter of what happened across this Ashes series, but it's part of a bigger picture. And, you know, I think, though, the Australian media were turning on Usman Khawaja's round of golf. The fact that it gave Travis Head the chance to open and we know what the rest of the history is, it was probably the best round of golf he's ever played.
Yeah, absolutely. It might rank up there with Adam Scott winning the Masters and the first Australian to do so. It might be one of the most famous rounds of golf that we've seen from an Australian in a long time, at least. A few more to throw at you, Henry. Obviously, every tour, successful or unsuccessful, there's a post-mortem, there's a breakdown, there's the investigation, I guess, on what went right, what went wrong. And that happens for every cricket tour, yeah, you'd imagine, for every nation across the globe. But for this one specifically, in what seems to be such a disappointing outcome, there will be some questions asked for the England setup. I want to ask you and what you think the vibe is, because how safe really is Brendan McCullum? There's been a kind of a vibe that it doesn't really matter. You know, he is safe for the time being. But is he guaranteed to survive this, do you think?
I think it is. If he isn't going to be England coach, I think it'll be his choice. But it might be a choice that is rather forced upon him. And I'll explain what I mean by that. And Brendan McCullum is many things. He is this relaxed character doing his crosswords with his feet up in the dressing room, bringing the slogans, run towards the danger, put pressure on the opposition, these sort of things. But also he's an incredibly stubborn man, and he has his way of doing things and his way of making teams tick. And I think if England's board and management above him, Rob Key, if he stays in post and those even further up, say, look, we want you to stay, but if you stay, things are going to have to really change, and we want a different style, we want a different approach, and we want a different culture. It might be that Brendan McCullum turns around and says, well, that's not what you employed me for. I don't want to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. So it could be that scenario that would see him leaving his role. The added complexity in all of this is he's the white ball coach, and so he's leading a side in theory in 2 weeks in Sri Lanka for a white ball tour ahead of a T20 World Cup in India the following month. So there's an awful lot that has to be worked out pretty quickly if indeed changes are going to be made. What we've heard is that isn't the plan imminently, but it might be the case that when the review is done, the dreaded review that tends to follow an Ashes tour, it becomes clear that a parting of the ways actually is in everybody's interests.
There is a lot to play out between now and the next Ashes series in England in 2027 next year. So we'll wait and see what happens. Henry, a few more to throw at you. I really appreciate your time, not just today, but of course, across the entire summer for your work alongside us with ABC Sports. Some negatives first, because I want to get to the positives as well, because there are some positives here for England. Let's not make any mistake about that. Some of the negatives, Mark Wood, obviously injured, went home early, didn't have an impact really on this tour. Ollie Pope, once again, lost his spot in the side, and we've seen Jacob Bethell thrive. Shoaib Bashir didn't get an opportunity. Jofra Archer couldn't make it through the series. Looking at some of those negatives, how much damage has this done to some of those individuals as part of this squad for England?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think there will certainly be players that will get another opportunity because of age being on their side and the potential to score the runs that would demand their place or indeed take the wicket. Someone like Ollie Pope could. I'd be surprised if he didn't play Test cricket for England again, but perhaps lower down the order. I think Mark Wood, it's possible he's played his last Test match. He's well north of 30 now, and injuries have been such a consistent and disappointing part of the last few years for him. Jofra Archer, if he wants to keep playing Test cricket, he'll be somebody who absolutely will get back in the England side because he's a fabulous bowler and he should be fit actually for the T20 World Cup. So that's good news from England's point of view. I think there's not many players that come out of the tour with credit from England's perspective in terms of the positives. I don't think you can hand on heart say Jamie Smith, Will Jacks, Harry Brook have had brilliant tours. They've had moments, perhaps, but not beyond that. Joe Root's had a good tour. Yep. It's not actually his tour with his highest average. That was 17-18, but finally he's broken the duck of the Ashes hundreds in Australia. And you know, I think that at the end of it all, there'll be players that feel that they've not necessarily done their talents justice. Ben Duckett would be another. So yeah, there are plenty of players that will feel that they've not necessarily fulfilled their potential on this tour, but that one green shoot of recovery comes in the form of Jacob Ethel and that brilliant innings we saw at Sydney.
Yeah, well, that's what I wanted to ask you about, because whether the England selection and Brendan McCullum and everyone involved in that process missed a trick on some of these, because not only did Jacob Ethel obviously come out and show everyone exactly what he can do and why the England setup has brought him in so early in his career, and we saw it in Australia a few years ago when he played in the Big Bash for the Renegades, but also Josh Tung, who bowled incredibly well in the back end of the series and took 18 wickets. Those two were huge positives. Did they miss a trick in maybe not giving them an opportunity earlier?
Oh, I think that there's always going to be a little bit of hindsight, isn't there? And you look at how the series played out and you think, well, you know, the guys that failed, should they have been given the opportunities they were given? But Ollie Pope, someone they've shown a lot of loyalty to, and have wanted to keep as part of the setup. He's been vice captain previously, so he was somebody that was always going to get chances. I think with Josh Tung, your first choice attack was likely to be Jofra Archer, Mark Wood, Bryden Carr. Josh Tung is a real positive. He's waited his opportunity. He's taken it. He's bowled really well, and so that's something that's a positive. Whether England missed a trick, well, I think there's bigger, more fundamental issues than perhaps the squad selection, which many people would argue was absolutely right. It's just what went around it that didn't necessarily play out as England would have wanted it to.
Well, I haven't spoken to a single Australian, Henry, I can say this, that didn't absolutely love Jacob Bethel's innings and what he did and what he offers for the future. He's an exciting talent, and I think Australian cricketers should be a little concerned about what might come from him in the future. As I've mentioned so many times, we really appreciate everything you've given us over the summer and all the work you've done over the past 12 to 18 months for ABC Sport as part of the BBC team and the Test Match Special team. We're looking forward to having you on in the future as well. I'm going to finish with this, just a personal highlight, Henry, not from the cricket, but how did you enjoy your time in Australia? You've been here a long time now.
It's the most wonderful place, and there's a reason why, you know, people from Europe and Britain love coming to Australia. Wonderful people, food, climate, culture, and you know, as I stand here on Circular Quay, seeing the ships drift in and out, it is the most fabulous place to be. And I think in terms of a personal highlight, I would say that perhaps beyond the opportunity to see this wonderful country, I think the Sydney Test match with Jane McGrath Day was a very, very special moment. And I also think the moment where there was the hat tip to Shane Warne was a really special moment to see, because I think it, when you get moments where we can forget to an extent that Ashes rivalry exists and remember that actually England and Australian cricket fans are the best of friends as well as the best of enemies. And the reason this rivalry is what it is because we have the same sort of love for sport, love for cricket, and the opportunity to come together with the memories of the bigger things beyond cricket in moments like the Jane McGrath Day and remembering Shane Warne, why we absolutely adore this rivalry, this series, and why we have cherished it so much over the years and will continue to do so.
We've loved having you here, Henry. We've loved having all the travelling journos and broadcasters who've come over from the UK, as well as all the fans as well. So it's been lovely to have you in Australia. We'll see you here again, I'm sure, in the future for many other tours, both for the men and the women. But enjoy the travel back. Hopefully it's a safe journey for you, and we'll speak to you soon.
-6 degrees back in the UK. Bring it on.
Henry Moran from BBC and Test Match Special.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.